Okay. I think the one thing that I would like to share, and that has been the most difficult and important thing for me, especially with that anxiety chisel, is that we need to stop finding our value as a human in things outside of us.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion, and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools, and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion, and purpose. Another week, another podcast. I have such a privileged life in that I get to speak to so many interesting people about things that matter to them. This week we're talking about money. Here's a thing for you to think about. What is your story around money? What are your feelings about money? You might have seen the meme or heard that joke some time ago. People spend a lot of time worrying about money, but money doesn't care what you think or feel about it. Okay, it's not that funny, but considering money does not exist as an entity, we put a considerable amount of energy and time into it. The story or relationship we have with our money starts young, and it's a story that will shape our future. I still have an up and down relationship with money. I've never had a lot, but there's always been enough. That's not to say I do not worry about it. Even now, if I'm having a lousy cash flow month, I know that deadlines are coming and I get very uncomfortable, moody, and to some extent quite depressed. So I know the relationship of money is significant for me. Like everybody, our money relationship starts when we're young. Mine comes from my family. And the predominant phrase when I was growing up was money does not grow on trees. Both my parents came from pretty impoverished beginnings, so it's no surprise that I hold a negative money story. I've looked to address it many times, and I'm better than I was, and not as good as I will become, working on it. So I was even more delighted when I had the opportunity to meet Laura Powner at an event a few weeks back, because she is a money mentor. I saw her speak at this event in Brighton, and it was apparent that she has a story to tell. Laura is a chartered accountant and a hypnotherapist. She has her feet grounded in the practical world of numbers and spreadsheets, but is equally at home teaching clients from all over the world how to build self-worth as a mind and money mentor. In reality, it is difficult to have money and build net worth if you do not think you are worth it. How many examples are there of people that get money and lose the lot? Laura has worked with thousands of businesses over the last 19 years and helped clients launch, grow, turn around and sell their businesses by focusing both on the money and on their mindset. She's known for her straight-talking approach. She always says what she means, which includes bad language, a hint of sarcasm, lots of humour, and no jargon. In her words, she's a lover of all things woo, but balances this with a generous dose of muggle. She might be considered a bit unnerving for an accountant, but it was a cracking conversation, and it went on well past the recording. I know you're going to enjoy this conversation with Laura Powner. So thank you for taking the time out to be with me today. Today I'm with Laura Powner, and I am delighted to be with this lady. I saw her at a conference recently down in Brighton where she talked about money, the one subject that we all have a relationship with, and some of it's good and some of it might not be so good. Anyway, today's story is all about money and Laura's journey with money, and I'll leave it to that. So tell me, Laura, how did you get to be the person you are, working with money as you do?
So I began working with money in a very professional sense as a chartered accountant almost 20 years ago.
But they're boring people, chartered accountants.
Aren't they just? Tell me about it. And after nearly 15 years of being with those boring people, I had to get out. But that's where it began. So I would work with different businesses pretty much on a weekly basis. And to begin with, my journey was very much about making sure the accounts were correct. You know, have they complied with all of the legislation that they have to comply with? And about 3 years into it, I thought, God, this is boring.
But there is a freedom. There's a freedom in the boredom, isn't there? Because by the fact the boredom gets done, there is a freedom in that. And I guess that's probably where you...
What was nice about it was, you know, there was a right answer or a wrong answer.
Yes.
Very crystal clear. It's got to be right or it's going to be wrong. And I have to make it right. So that was nice. There was an end point of that work. But it was very dull when it was just focused on being correct. What excited me was, here are some numbers. Imagine if we could change them. That's what got me excited. And what made me a little bit unusual, I think, as an accountant. Because we're always looking backwards as accountants. We're always doing last year. And I was more excited by, well, that's great, we've sorted that, but where are you at now and where are you going? And those are questions that most people didn't answer or have an answer to or didn't really ask themselves. So that was fun. So I got into that, and then my big dream at that time was to be a partner in a firm. I wanted an office in the corner and to be one of the big dogs. So that was my goal. And then I got that in the sense that they put me on a fast track to partner program. So I was like, yes, all of my dreams are coming true. And then kind of had an epiphany of, oh God, is this my dream? Or is this what I should have been doing? Is this what I thought I should do? And the reality was, do you know what? I don't want to be a partner in an office, and I don't want to spend another 30 years doing sets of accounts from a year ago.
It is interesting because you can see it happening. It's like, you come in, you can see, I've seen a lot of accountancy firms in my various years of business, and you see the young people come into the accountancy firm who are bright young things looking great in their suits, and then you see them become partners, and the clothing gets more and more and more subdued as they become these official people who dress in the right way and wear the right clothes so as not to ruffle any feathers.
And have no sparkle. And it was just like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. So I was like, shit, what am I going to do now? And at the time, I had a big portfolio of clients. I'd started in a new firm, so they basically gave me the dross. It was like, everybody give us things out of your portfolio that you don't want, and we'll give it to the new woman that's coming in. So it was like, oh my gosh, what have I done here? Anyway, there was one particular client who everybody loathed. Nobody wanted to work on it. And it was there, obviously, at the top of my portfolio. And I was like, can't be that bad. Anyway, he came to the office and he was having a meeting with the partner. I'd never met him. And the partner called and said, can you come down? And I used to hate working for this partner. He was brilliant at what he did. But I'm a planner and I like to know the answers in advance. I don't like being on the spot, or I didn't. I don't mind it now. I didn't like it then. So to go into a meeting was always scary for me because I didn't know what I was going to get asked. I didn't know anything about him. Mm-hmm. And I walked in and this guy had clearly been crying. So I noticed that he'd been crying and that he had a pink pen. And I thought, wow, you're not like a normal client. This is interesting. And his numbers were in rapid decline and the bank were going to pull the bank loans and the facilities that they'd given to him if he didn't fix the situation. Mm-hmm. And he was going to lose his home. So I was like, oof, this is tough. And the partner said to me, can you help him with that? And I thought, well, I don't know. How the hell would I know? Because I've never done that. But my default in that time was to say yes, of course I will. I'll help you with this. And so I started looking at him and his numbers and what we could possibly do to make the situation better, and I loved it, absolutely loved it, and thought, I don't ever want to work in a firm again of accountants. I want to go and do this in the field, in real businesses where it actually matters.
Because did you turn his project around for him?
I did turn his project around, yes.
Wow. Were you the star of the company at that point?
Yeah, I was. And I don't think half of the company knew how bad it was. You know, there were days when I didn't know that they'd get paid. It was, will I make this money today? And they never knew, and they never were burdened with it, and it always worked out okay. But yeah, 3 years later, I turned that show around and sold it for lots of money. And I kind of thought, great, I've done that, made loads of money. I've had two children. The first time I was back at work at 12 weeks, so I didn't get to experience my son's childhood. I hated that, regret that massively, and thought, I will not make that mistake again. I've just had my daughter. She's 8 weeks old. I've just sold this business. Everybody's happy. I am not responsible anymore for that. I'm going to stay at home and be a mum. That's what I'm going to do, because I'm so annoyed that I didn't do it the first time. Mm-hmm. And about 8 weeks into that journey, thought, ooh, I think I need a bit of something else. This isn't going to be enough for me.
Yeah. If you stay at home with children for a long period of time, your brain becomes fudge.
That's it. It was like the biggest decision I had to make was, what will we have for dinner? And it was like, this isn't...
But you go into their world, because I've seen it happen. You go into and you become part of that. Part of you becomes the child. And it's like, it's fantastic, but it is chocolate mousse and fudge.
I know. And like, you know, my deadlines were, will we be back in time for the tumble? I was just like, oh my God, this isn't enough for me. It's not judgment of it, but for me, it wasn't enough. So I thought, right, well, I need a business. What shall I do? Oh, what do I know? Accounting. I'll just do that then. So built an accounting practice. That went great guns. That was fine. I retired my husband, as in, you know, he didn't go to work. And every now and again, I'd be like, I've got too much on. Can you do a bit of this for me? Because he's also an accountant. Very exciting family. So he didn't go to work for a few years. And then I slowly started to realize that, wait a minute, I left accounting to go BFD because accounting didn't float my boat enough.
Yeah.
And look what I've just built, a business doing things that doesn't float my boat. Mm. I'm back in the same scenario. And then personally went through a whole load of stuff around the same time. I was living with anxiety and daily panic attacks, and yet trying to maintain the exterior that everything was great and that, you know, I knew what I was doing. So it was all a bit traumatic. And then slowly but surely, I realized that, you know, I'd built a life of freedom financially, but it wasn't a life that I wanted to live.
Mm.
So what do you do with that? And I started working on mindset and trying to get over these panic attacks, trying not to get swallowed by what was a big void, I guess. It was tough. And I did lots of work around that. And then I still got an accounting practice. There are still clients that I love that I'll never leave. They would kill me if I left them, but I don't actively put people in there anymore. And I focus on this mentoring side, which brings together obviously all the accounting stuff, but what I have spent the last, I don't know, almost 10 years on mindset, but intensely the last five, passing on what I've learned there. To help people change their relationship with money, not just, you know, the numbers on the outside, but fundamentally that deep-rooted belief of I'm not enough, or it's, you know, I don't deserve it, or it's too hard. Let's change that. And why? That's probably driven because the space that I was sitting in, loads of money, but miserable.
Well, I don't understand this. I mean, money is such a fundamental part of our society.
Mm.
And we don't teach what you're talking about.
Mm, we don't.
What we teach people is to be frightened of money.
Yeah, we do.
And I know, I recognize you're talking to me about this, and I'm feeling it in my body. I notice how uncomfortable I feel around money. It's really interesting how I notice it in myself.
And it's, you know, it's a one common thing that everyone can use to measure their value. Oh, I don't have as much as you, so I'm not as good as you. Or it's like an external measure that people use to measure their self-worth, and we've got it all wrong. That's not what it is. No, money gives you freedom. That's it.
So where's the passion for you in all of this now? Because that's we're life, passion, and business. Now clearly your life was working very much in the money side of it, but it sounds like it was devoid of passion.
It was, yeah, it was. And I think what I do now because I have created freedom.
Yeah,
I don't want other people to struggle like I did, because I did feel alone and I did feel ashamed and I didn't know where to go. I don't ever want anyone to feel that way, and I can't change the world, but I can do it one person at a time, make a contribution to it. So I use my money skills to help people build self-worth and net worth. And my passion comes from watching them go from fear, from that rigidity in their body when I'm talking about it, that moving away from me across the table, that God, just don't talk to me zone, to actually being excited to talk about it, to understanding that what the numbers say doesn't change who they are as a person or their value or their contribution to life, and to building a life that they love. That's what I'm passionate about.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And how do you do that? What does that look like to you at the moment?
So basically, I mean, they're all fancy dancy terms. What do? People come along who either have a difficult situation financially or who are all right financially, but struggling a little bit emotionally. They're just a bit, you know, it's just a bit empty. They don't know what they're trying to do with their life and their money. They've got a business, but they don't really know what their goals are. So what do? I go and help them look at what limiting beliefs they've got around it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what, not just money, but their business in general. Let's find your limiting beliefs. Let's remove those. And to do that, I use hypnosis, because that's something that I've learned to do. So I use hypnosis to help them with that. And then I help them get clear on the money story that they're trying to create. I think, like I almost did, we fall into this, what does society say we should be doing? So for me, it was, I'm going to, you know, qualify as an accountant. I'm going to become a partner, going to get married, going to have children. I'm going to tick off these things that I thought I should be doing, because I never sat down and thought about what I actually wanted to create.
You've just talked about the success model. You just led me straight into my next question about what your success model is. Because that's the success model. We were told this is how you be successful.
Yeah, and it's not. And, you know, so I try and open up this freedom to people that, one, we can remove all your limiting beliefs, all of your blocks. You can write the story that you want to live. And then I can help you change your behavior financially to make it possible for you to do the things that you want, to have the things that you want, to be the person that you want via money.
How do you help people find that thing they want? Because I think what I recognize it in myself, I recognize it in people I meet, is like when you say to someone, what do you want?
Yeah.
They haven't a sodding clue.
Yes, they haven't, but they also have never sat and listened.
Okay.
They've never asked, they've often never asked a question. They've never sat and listened to the answers that they have. You know, my default answer to a lot of questions used to be, I don't know. But the reality is, if I just give it some consideration, I do have an answer. I do have a belief for myself. And it's giving people space and asking them the right questions. And those questions can be different for everybody. It's not just blanket questions, to let them see inside what motivates them, what they're looking for. Because we do know the answers when we make space to listen.
Hmm. Well, okay. Perhaps I need to make a bit more space. I mean, I set life, passion and business up because I didn't know what life was about. That's why I set it up.
But it could be about anything. There isn't a right answer.
Well, I've discovered that since setting it up. But I set it up purely and simply to start asking other people, well, how do you do life? How does it work for you? Because I didn't actually have an answer to how it worked.
Yeah.
And it has been an interesting journey. I mean, you're number 54 of the conversations that I've had.
Wow. That is a lot of chats.
It's a lot of chats, and it's been a really interesting journey. And there is a very similar thread that runs through it all. I mean, and you've probably said a lot of it, and there are people with slightly different nuances to it. But a common thread is listening. It is actually defining what you want and actually taking the time out to get it.
It's important. And I think as a society, what we're being not led down, because it's not the right word, but we're just numb. Most people are numb.
Well, we are led in a way because the media is invested in, in perpetuating the process of which keeps the thing rolling. Like, we're all invested in keeping the shit show rolling. And you don't seem to be invested in putting it right for some reason.
Yeah. Blind to the bollocks,
Whatever you call it, Brexit, Trump, everything you call, everything you look at it, you think, okay, well, it's just more bollocks. And it's just more perpetuating the system.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, a big part for me was getting out of the system. You know, I don't watch the news, and people, you know, I remember my dad saying to me, don't be so ignorant. And I was like, do you know what? Call it what you want. Watching shit like that affects me. I want to be free to think my own stuff. So I don't really watch. I'm aware of what's going on. You know, I speak to other humans, but I don't. What I used to watch it every day. You know, I'd watch it in the morning. I'd watch it at tea time. Don't do that anymore.
It's an addiction in a way, that is. It keeps you locked into the system. It keeps you locked.
Do what's normal. Do what's right. For who? I've broken out of the system.
So success for you. What is success for you? How do you define success? I think you already said it, but let's actually ask the question directly.
So success to me originally would have been partnership and money and all the rest
of it. I know, yeah. I know it's not, I appreciate now, it's not, yeah.
For now. Me now, it's freedom.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
just for me, but I am particularly motivated in freedom for my children.
Yes.
So my kids don't go to school. They're not uneducated. They just don't go to school and they don't do it like all the other children, Monday to Friday, 9 to 3:30. They don't have that life. And an example of it this week, my daughter said, she's 6, I'm going to start my own business like you do. And I said, all right, okay, what are you going to do? She said, well, I've been thinking about it and I want to build houses, but haven't learned how to do that yet. She said, so I'm really good at painting nails. I'm going to have a nail painting business. I'm like, okay. So I'd like to put it on Facebook, tell everyone, I've got my list here and we'll make appointments and I'm going to charge this price. At 6, I would never have considered that was an option because I was going to school and I was doing the work that they gave me and I was, you know, going from one place to another as I was told. That to me was yes.
And how's she doing?
She's doing all right. I think she should put her prices up, but she's happy and she's doing all right. And she's very good at it. And it gives us something, it motivates her and it excites her. And that's what I want. I wanted my kids to be free, not spoil, not think that everything is given. I don't want to give it to them.
Yeah.
I want them to understand you have to work for it, but I want them to understand that there are no limits to what they want.
So what's the future education-wise of them? Is there a future for it?
I don't know. They're 9 and 6. So at the moment, it's home education. I have a tutor that comes. So they do get one-to-one tuition. Lots of people who homeschool do unschooling. My kids prefer a little bit more rigidity to it, but they get to direct what they're learning about, if that makes sense. So they're kind of following along with the curriculum, but in a way that into things that they're passionate about. So, you know, Chloe wanted to learn about squid and stuff. So she manages to get maths into squid stuff. She manages to do writing around squid. She manages to do all of the things around squid because it excites Chloe at the moment. So they have an education that's really defined to them. How that will change, I don't know. Will they be doing all of the standard GCSEs and stuff if they still exist then? Yes, they will. But will they need to go to school to do it? No, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily.
There's a great video doing the circuit a few years ago about a guy who hacked his education. I mean, his parents were obviously in the loop on that one and obviously quite well connected. And he was into snowboarding and that sort of stuff. So he did his education around snowboarding and he got to work for snowboarding companies and so that's what they did. They just took him and basically got him in places doing stuff around snowboarding and things. I don't think he's a competitor now. So,
yeah. And I just want people to know that you can have that. It's not for the special few. I'm not special. Anyone can do it.
Mm.
But you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice to do it. So it's freedom. My success for me is freedom. Freedom to do what I want. Freedom for my children to do what they want. And to give my clients freedom. To do what they want. And that's the one common word I keep saying, but it's freedom.
Well, it's very refreshing. Very refreshing.
Thank you.
So
that's what we do.
So If I was to open, so we got to the point here where I asked this question, and it's the one question which is the most difficult question of all. It's, what is it that I haven't asked you that I should have done?
Oh my God. I don't know.
But it's the one thing that lets you say what you think needs to be said. So you don't, I don't put the phone down. You say to me, and you go, I wish I'd said this.
Okay. I think the one thing that I would like to share, and that has been the most difficult and important thing for me, especially with that anxiety shizzle, is that we need to stop finding our value as a human in things outside of us. In money, in where we live, in who we have in our life. Our value already exists. It's already priceless. It's already there. We don't have to prove it by something external to us. And if we could just accept that we already have a value, I think that would be a big shift for people.
It would be an amazing shift for people, actually. I know a few people that have very low self-value. And I have a friend who's really suffering at the moment with bipolar. And she just cannot get out of the hole at the moment. And it's about value.
It is so hard. It is so hard. And I wish I had like one answer.
No, there is no one answer. I've met her and I said, you know, I said, I can't pull you out of this hole. You have to pull yourself out of it. But I know the light is there for you. And all I can say is come towards the light.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. Move towards the light.
Yeah. That's it. And it's funny you should say that, because a tagline that I use all the time is be the light. Be the light.
Yes. That's what I say. Yes, you do.
And that's what I mean. Be the light. And that is what I would say.
So if people want to connect with you and be the light with you, or learn to be the light from you, how would they go about doing that?
My favourite place to hang out is Facebook. Mm-hmm. I've got a business page, Laura Powner, Mind and Money Mentor, or just connect with me personally. And I've got a Facebook group we can hang out in, where it's the only place that I go live at the moment. I don't do it on my wall. I just do it in my group and share whatever stuff is going on for me.
I didn't know you had a group. I'm going to try and join it.
You can join it. Just, if you don't like swear words, you don't want to be in it.
No, that's fine. That's fine. We have mutual friends that swear a lot. So we know.
I can't help it. It's a language that comes out by itself.
Yeah, I try to keep it clean on the podcast a bit. Otherwise,
yeah, I'm trying. I'm really trying.
Otherwise, Apple does nasty things to you if you put swear words in podcasts. So I try to keep it clean on here, but that's fine. So Laura, here is the final question, which is the one that everyone has their own answer for, and we have to determine that answer ourselves. So, you know, we're born to this planet as animals, like every other animal, but only humans consider there is greater value to their lives or to who they are and why they're here. So for you, what is the meaning and purpose of life?
I think, and this sounds so Clinton cards and other cards are available, it's to try and leave the world a little bit better than you found it.
Yeah, I think that's a nice one.
And try and make a difference to people. You know, like I said, wouldn't it be amazing if I could help everyone?
Yeah.
But I can't. So maybe I could just help somebody that I meet today.
Does it have meaning to you, life?
Yes. Yes, it has meaning. It's funny because I shared on Facebook that I was coming on this podcast today and that you would ask me this question, and I asked other people what their meaning of life was, and somebody put something about making impression and expression. I think, you know, I've come here to learn. I think we limit ourselves, you know, this, I'm going to go a bit woo-woo now.
Please do.
We're humans. I think, yeah, we're having a human experience, but I think we're beyond that. I think when I die, I don't disappear. I don't just finish. I think my spirit will be somewhere else. I don't think I will ever go anywhere. I think I'm just having a human experience at the moment, and it's to find out what does that look like. You know, what can you do with that what can you achieve as a human? And I don't mean in success levels. I mean, you know, where can you push the boundaries? That kind of thing. So it's a bit, I'm going a bit woo, but yeah, yes, there's meaning to life to me. Yes, it's to leave it more valuable than when I got here, if I can. It's to help other people out every day and to be the best version of me that I can.
That's a nice place to end that bit. That's perfect. This is a nice way to end it. So Laura Powner, thank you so much for your time today. It has been a real pleasure to talk to you. And it's been so unique to do it on Zoom. So I'm glad to see you as well. Most of my times I do things on a video, on audio service only. So it's been a real joy. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's been a pleasure.
That was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest Laura Powner. As with all of my guests, you can find her details at the website, Life, Passion and Business. Laura is very active on Facebook at the Money Mind Academy, so I'm sure you can find her there if you chose to search. So well done, you made it to the end of the podcast. If you've got this far, you must have enjoyed the show. So please take a moment on your app and give us a like. I have said this before, but I'll say it again. If you're an iTunes user, likes and comments are precious to us. Well, it only remains me to say thank you for listening, and I appreciate your time and attention, and I will catch you next time. And that was Life, Passion and Business with your host Paul Harvey and my guests Guy and Ilan Furman. What a great program. I so enjoyed that conversation with you guys, and I am looking forward to perhaps catching up with them again. They did promise to do some live coaching with me on the program at some stage, and maybe we'll take them up on that option. So if you would like to catch up with Guy and Ilan, you certainly can. All the details you will find on the Life, Passion and Business website underneath this podcast. It only remains me to say thank you for taking the time to listen to these shows, because it's such a pleasure to create them, and I hope they bring you some useful content or information. And on that subject, I am always looking for interesting guests. If you think you have something to offer this program, please get in touch. If you visit the website, there is a guest section where you can just send me some details and let's talk. If you are enjoying this podcast series, please support the show by liking and sharing our content. Maybe even submitting a review to iTunes. It all supports us to build the program and build our audience. Anyway, as I said, thank you for listening, and I hope to catch you later.